So tell me about your own personal situation. How did you come as a refugee to Canada? Under what criteria?
I came to Canada in 2001 with my family looking for refugee because we were receiving threats, death threats in El Salvador.
That was because of your work as a journalist?
Yes, because the civil war ended in El Salvador in 1992, but the confrontation, the social and political confrontation, is still alive.
Has Canada received you and welcomed you?
Canada received me and welcomed me in 2001, but in 2004, I was supposed to have my hearing in 2004, and 2 weeks before the hearing, I received a letter telling me that my hearing was suspended and I had to go to an inadmissibility hearing.
What was that like?
They say as I was, I had a relationship with the FMLN, that is the revolutionary movement in El Salvador in 1980s and 1990s. As I had a relationship with them and was under the investigation, is I was a terrorist person in Canada.
So you were
that relationship.
You were no longer eligible for refugee status.
Exactly.
How did your family react to this?
It was shock, but our hope was, as we are going to a hearing, our hope was, okay, we have to convince this the immigration department that I am not a terrorist. Then we went to the hearing, but at the end, after 2 days hearing, they declared me inadmissible and was a shock for me and for my family.
And how is it that you are still here?
Okay, the immigration department declared me inadmissible, but my wife and my kids, they got the refugee status, and then they became a Canadian resident, and now they are a Canadian citizen. And when what happened, and when I received the inadmissibility decision, we apply, we send 4 applications. One, we apply for the PRA. Second, we apply for resident, permanent resident in humanitarian and compassionate grounds. Third, we apply for resident for family reunification, sponsored for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And four, we apply for administrative relief for the safety minister.
So basically, you applied on every possible opportunity to be admitted. And were you doing this with an immigration lawyer?
Yes, through lawyers.
So where are things at now?
In January of this year, I received 3 rejections. They reject my PRA.
What is the PRA? Maybe you could just explain the PRA.
The PRA is the pre-removal risk assessment. That is the evaluation of risk of a person before his or her deportation.
To ascertain whether your life would be threatened when you were deported back to the country.
In El Salvador, exactly.
And that failed.
Yes, it was rejected. My application for permanent residence for humanitarian and compassion grounds was rejected too. And my application for residence, for sponsorship for my wife in family reunification was rejected too.
Tell me about the stress this puts on a family. How is it for them knowing that you're still living in limbo in many ways?
First of all, it's a difficult situation to live in limbo, because you don't have the same opportunities that everybody has in this country. The second is, when you have a decision, a negative decision, and you are facing the deportation, it's a lot of stress because you don't know what is going to happen. The dilemma here is, the problem here is, what is going to happen is Canada deport me. My kids came to Canada when they were little kids. They lived their life here in Canada. Their friends are here. Their jobs are here. Their studies are here. What am I going to do if I have to go back to El Salvador? Are they going to come with me to El Salvador? Or they stay here in Canada? And my wife, what is going to happen with her? Is she coming with me to El Salvador, leaving their kids here? Or she's going to stay with their kids, leaving me alone in El Salvador? We are going to have 25 years of marriage this October. And that's the dilemma. That is the problem, you know, is that we are facing the separation of family, and it's what we are fighting against.
How do you deal with that, your wife and you together? Do you talk about it a lot? Do you just leave it be and figure you'll make the decision when the time comes?
We face it fighting. We launch a campaign for me to stay here, the Vigil campaign. And as I am saying, joking, but it's true, my manager, the manager of this campaign, is my wife. Then my wife and me are doing a really good team, working together with a lot of support, with a lot of people, with our kids, with friends, with people that we didn't know before. We are working in this campaign, fighting this situation. And I think this attitude, this disposition to work against this situation helping us a lot to face the stress that we are living now.
How old are your kids?
My son is 20 years old. My daughter is... oh, my God, just give me 1 second. Okay. My son is 24 years old. My daughter is 21 years old. The little one is 18 years old.
What do your children make of your situation? What is their impression?
Okay, they can understand what the situation is happening. We explain them everything. They know the process. They live the process. But now they can understand why. Because the accusation is terrorism. And I am living here. I live in El Salvador. I am living here a peaceful life. Then how my kids say, how they can say you're a terrorist? I am a well-known person here. I work as journalist. I work in community organizations. And nobody can imagine it. How can immigration can say I am a terrorist? Then it's shocking for them. But really, they don't understand exactly how the situation is happening.
Do you have a hearing upcoming?
We are still expecting what is going to happen with our application before the federal court.
And do you know when that decision will be made?
Our hope is that we are going to win the case because... there are a lot of things happening. There was a similar situation in Vancouver with another Salvadorian, mm-hmm. and the federal court decided that immigration was wrong in this case, mm-hmm. and they sent back the case before the immigration again. It's one thing. The other thing is we have a lot of proof, a lot of documentation, a lot of analysis of the law, and we think that we are right in our petition to put aside this decision.
Explain to me the kind of documentation and analysis you need to fight an argument like this.
Before the federal court, it basically law argumentations. And we have a really good lawyers team. We are working with Lord Wallman and Associated. And they have a group of lawyers that they are looking into the law and they are collecting and they are presenting the legal arguments before the federal court that are supporting my case.
But you don't know when that's going to happen yet?
No. According with my lawyer, it can take 6 months, 1 year to see what is happening. May I say something off the record?
Sure.
Okay, we receive a letter from immigration asking us to settle the case, but we are still working on that. And I don't know if I can say something about that at this point.
So it seems, in actual fact, that they're ready to let it go.
They are ready to settle the case, but we don't know exactly if that mean at this point. It doesn't mean they are going to give me a yes answer or not. Or I'll just keep my file resting. I don't know.
Well,
we are in the middle of this situation this week.
It's amazing that they want to settle the case. Does that mean deportation?
When they say settle the case, that means that deportation will be stopped until the process is finished. But we don't know what will be the end of the road there.
So in actual fact, things look very good at the moment, but you can't really say that.
Yes, because we don't know. It's a good thing, but we don't know exactly what is going to happen, and we are dealing with my lawyer is dealing with that situation. I don't know if you want to. I have to say something just general about that, or
no? It's okay. I will. I'll edit that out, and I'll write around it.
Okay.
So, in the meantime, you continue to work on the celebration of Hispanic culture.
In the meantime, I am still working as a journalist. I am writing every week news about what is happening in my community, in Canada, and around the world. And I am working in the celebration of October that is coming.
Tell me about some of the events that are planned for October.
Okay, for October, we are going to have movies, Latin American and Spanish movies. We are going to have a Hispanic taste, that means special plates for a special price in the restaurants in Toronto and in GTA.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have art events. We are going to have a literature event. We are going to have a special presentation for Gabriel Garcia Marquez that he died this year. We are going to have a lot of celebration around the arts and culture in Toronto.
And this is also to, I guess, increase the awareness in Southern Ontario of the Latin American and Spanish community within Canada.
Exactly. The idea is to try to work with the people to feel their roots, to feel where they come, especially with the second generation. And it's also to show the Canadian society that we are a strong community in Canada too.
It's kind of interesting because it's only in Canada, and by coming here and having this immigrant experience, that this unity comes out of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a kind of crazy situation. May I give you another information that maybe, I don't know if it is interesting for you?
Sure.
My organization, this coalition of organizations, we are working with the Pan American, dealing with the Pan American Games in Toronto. There is, you know about the Pan American Games.
Yes, right? Next summer.
And we are, as a Hispanic community, we feel we are excluded for this celebration. And we are working and pushing to be included in the organizing community Committee of the Pan American Games. That means they are looking for the Hispanic community as volunteers, but we are asking, okay, we need a staff, Hispanic people as a staff too, and we need business with Hispanic companies too. This is, there are some articles in the newspaper about that topic. And what I want to say is this coalition is trying to put the Hispanic community, the Hispanic culture, the Hispanic social power, put in the spot in the Canadian society, because we feel like ignored in this at this point.
Why do you feel that way in terms of the Pan American Games? What would you like to see happening?
They are changing some things. So far, they appoint one Hispanic community member in the board of director, the organization. That was good. Mm-hmm. It's really good news. And the city of Toronto, this week, approved $1.76 million for Hispanic. No, Pan American, that include Caribbean and Brazil, for Pan American communities, for projects from Pan American communities, for the Pan American Games.
So you are succeeding.
Yes, we are succeeding. As you see, I am living my life. I am trying to do what I have to do. I am trying to live normally my life here, doing what I am doing since last 14 years since I came to Canada, and I am going to do that at the last day as I live here, that I hope will be in 1 year ahead, 100 years ahead.
Well, Oscar Vigil, thank you for telling me about it.
Okay.
And I wish you all the best with the celebration in October.
Okay, thank you. Is enough for you, or you need more information?
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really wonderful. I have to stay attuned now to find out how the situation goes for you.
Okay, I let you know. I hope in the next 2 weeks or three, you'll have the answer what is going to happen now.
Well, you know, now it would be really important for us because we're putting up this, you know, this whole website, and it goes up in 2 weeks. So if you get any news in the meantime, it would be great to speak with you about that.
Okay.
Okay. I trust it's going to be good news. It sounds like it's good news, and I would love to hear that.
Okay. Thank you for your interview. We'll see what happened. I've seen the forecast is good, but I don't want to.
I know. I know. I understand. I understand. But, you know, I'll cross my fingers for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. And great talking to you. We have lots of stories now from this. I think I hadn't heard that, the Hispanic angle to the Pan American Games. That's very interesting, as well as the celebration in October. So I'm probably going to be in Toronto.
Maybe if you want to do something, I can help to you with other people, maybe with the press, you know, for the organization.
Yes.
Maybe you can talk.
For sure. I will keep it in mind for then. But I hope to talk to you before then, in the next 2 weeks. All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.